Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring him in now. Let's bring in Paul Emmy, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing, man?
Good, Bill. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. So I guess the first question is, Damon Bruce out there, 95-7 the game in San Francisco, says Packers 10% chance of winning. Agree or disagree?
Okay, so I was wondering where that 10% thing came from. So that's not a mathematical anything. That's one dude's opinion, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers are what? Is it 7 points, 7.5, Bill? Is that what it is right now?
Underdog? 7.5, yes.
Yeah, I mean, these two teams played really. I know Matt LaFleur even said today, "Oh, that was a long time ago." And in world of the NFL, with how quickly things change, he's right. I mean, it was NFL wise a long time ago, and the Packers are undefeated since that game. Are they not? Are they not 6-0?
Correct. Correct. Yes, they are.
Sure.
You are correct.
I mean, they've been playing great football. Now San Francisco has too, and I think if you look top to bottom on the roster. I love the 49ers roster. I mean, when you're bad for as long as they were, I mean, you can look at that defensive front especially, Bill, where they invested top five, top ten draft picks on, multiple years sort of in a span there. That's how you create that type of lineup defensively especially. And I thought they did a really nice job at the trade deadline, of course, picking up Manuel Sanders, who a lot of Packers fans would have wanted to get their hands on. I mean, they've done so many right things from a roster perspective, and there's no doubt that they should be the favorite, not just because they're at home, not just because they trounced the Packers by 29 points 2 months ago, not because of all of these factors individually, but I think they are a better team. Now, you always have the wild card of the quarterback position, which can just swing games monumentally. And if Aaron Rodgers, of course, with the help of especially Davante Adams, can replicate or get close to replicating what they did a week ago, Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have that same experience. He doesn't have that same skill level. He's a really good NFL quarterback, but, you see some of the things that he does, and especially on the turnover front and watching some of the playoff games back a little bit. And I mean, there's just more flaws, I think, that can happen offensively. So if you were to say from an offensive weapons perspective, I mean, George Kittle's in a league of his own among tight ends, but Davante Adams is playing in a league of his own from a wide receiver position. So, in terms of top weapons, that's probably a wash, Devontae for Kittle. That's a pretty even swap there. But, again, the 10% thing, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're 7.5-point favorites. They should be. Bill, and I just think that there's just something that you can't measure about this year's Packers team, the close wins, the luck, call it whatever you want to be, the ugliness of the wins, the fact that this team feels like underdogs, and they love it. Like, they're embracing this, us against the world thing. So I'm sure the Packers are extremely excited to see a 10% chance to win thing flying around the bulletin boards, because that's more fuel to their fire. So I don't know what the percent is, but 10% seems low. To me, I would, if the game was tomorrow, and my money was on the line or something, I'd pick San Francisco straight up, but 10% seems awfully low.
Yeah, it seems low to me, too. I'd probably say more like, if you want to get crazy, 60-40, that the Packers are still the underdog in this. They still have something to prove. I think they got off to a really poor start the first time these two teams met. They just they got slugged in the mouth and didn't respond. Now they know what to expect. And from everything I hear from any player in the NFL, from any coach in the NFL, the team that gets the hell beat out of them the first meeting usually learns a lot more and comes back more prepared in that second matchup. So I expect a much, much better game out of Green Bay in this one.
Yeah, and what you just said is why I did not think it would be a good idea for the Packers to play Minnesota for a third time. I don't know, you know, that game would have been at Lambeau Field, and that's a big difference. You don't have to fly out to San Francisco and all these other factors. But beating a really good team, which Minnesota is, I mean, they're flawed, but they are a really good team this year. Beating them three times in the span of 4 months is a really hard thing to do. Just like you mentioned with what Green Bay learned from its loss to San Francisco. And I know LaFleur is kind of keeping some of the secrets close to the vest and all of that, but that is, it's an underrated part of when you play a team, you know, close together from having just played them in the regular season, which, again, would have been especially true with Minnesota, having just played the Vikings in Week 16, and then if you would have hosted them pretty much not even a full month later, there's a lot of challenges that come with that. And so I do think that sometimes the advantage in those rematches goes to the team that lost the previous game because, you know, San Francisco got amazing output in that game from its defense especially. And I know they put up 37 offensively and all of that, but that was a defensive game where Bakhtiari and Bulaga and the offensive line in general was on its heels. They were in no way, shape, or form ready for what San Francisco brought. The benefit there is, you know, I know some people go back to regular season games and use that as, you know, the baseline for what they're going to expect in a playoff game. It's different, man. It's apples and oranges. It's a playoff game versus regular season game. And so the lessons that will have been learned, again, I'm not saying that's going to equal a Packers win or whatever the case would be, but there's a lot of benefit, I think, from, you know, like let's say that game was a two-point win for San Francisco. I don't think that's as much of a learning moment. I think losing by 29 and looking awful, that's learning. And there's more for that, I think, in terms of, you know, stuff that you can turn around 6-7 weeks later for a playoff game, you know, and improve upon. So I really strangely think, Bill, that it is beneficial that not only that they played in San Francisco and lost, but that they lost by as much as they did, because I think there's lessons there to be moved forward into a playoff rematch.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. Now, one of the things that I had mentioned going into the top of the hour, there's an aspect of this that nobody's really talking about. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo just won his first playoff game. The one thing that I keep thinking about is, well, the Packers need to get off to a fast start. Let's just say they do, and the Packers' defense plays about as good as they did the first meeting, because remember, it was 13-0 at half, and the Packers had to feel pretty lucky about that circumstance. So let's say it's different. Let's say the Packers are up, say, you know, 14-3 or 17-7 or something. You know, do you suddenly look over and go, Jimmy Garoppolo is looking at Aaron Rodgers going, uh-oh, Aaron Rodgers is playing really well. I got to keep up with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's one of those circumstances that we haven't taken into account where he would then feel like he has to go toe-to-toe with one of the league's best or greatest of all time. And that could bode extremely well for the Packers also in creating or at least, you know, being able to capitalize on one or two of those Jimmy Garoppolo errant throws.
Yeah, and I think you could pretty easily argue that Kirk Cousins had a better 2019 regular season than Aaron Rodgers statistically. Passer rating, Cousins was better than Rodgers. But I don't think when Garoppolo looks across the sideline against the Vikings and sees Kirk Cousins, he's, you know, you could have the same reaction as looking across the field and seeing Aaron Rodgers, especially when, and I know that Garoppolo, when he's studying film this week, isn't watching Green Bay's offense. Like, that doesn't do him any good. But he, you know, I'm sure watched that game on TV and wanted to see how it was. And you kind of stare down the other side of an Aaron Rodgers that's playing much better, at least in that game last weekend. You know, it's got to be an intimidating factor to it. And that is, I mean, that is so clearly a swing factor here. And, Bill, this is kind of why I start to think, okay, the numbers tell you if you win the coin toss, you defer. That's the numbers say that. I think it's weird, but it's played itself out. If Green Bay wins the coin toss, Bill, what are you going to do?
I think I defer. I think I tell my defense I believe in you. Go give me the football, yeah.
We might have to do a thumb war over that one to see who would. Because I would vote, man, give me the ball. Because to your point, like if you can get up 10-0, 14-3, you significantly change, I think, what San Francisco can do offensively. And again, like you said, hey, maybe you do defer and your defense gets you a three and out. That is the best of both worlds because 49ers do nothing and you get the ball and you get the ball to start the second half. So it probably does depend on, you know, what confidence level you have in your defense to not allow any points. But I think it's totally, I mean, of course, you always want to get a lead in the game, duh. But I think you get a totally different Jimmy Garoppolo, not playoff tested yet at this point in his young career, that if you can start to make him look up and chase a little bit, I think that's when you have a much higher likelihood for, you know, for the turnovers to come and for the forced passes and things like that. But I know he can always rest on Kittle, and when times get tough, look for the big guy in the middle of the field. But, you know, I just wonder if there's something in LaFleur's head of thinking, because this past Sunday, I think the Packers benefited from being able to get the ball first. And that wasn't their choice, but I think they benefited from that. And, man, that's be an interesting way to start. You know, the clock hasn't even started on Sunday night yet. I'm curious to see what the coin toss happens. So that kind of tells you the drama for right. A game like this. But, yeah, man, I think that early lead, you want Garoppolo to chase and see if his lack of playoff experience shows itself at all.
Paul, always good. We'll debate that again come Friday, all right?
100 hours from kickoff, I think, if I just did the math right. I think we're exactly 100 hours from kickoff.
Wow, that's getting deep to it. There you go. Good stuff. Paul, we'll talk to you soon.
Man.
All right, buddy. There you go. That's Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes here on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.